Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
The title of my message today is The Sound of Revival. Revival has a sound. Thank you for your quietness here. I said revival has a sound. And God is raising up a church that's having a sound. There's a new sound that's coming in earth. You look at the great moves of God, the voice of healing move of God. You look at the prophetic movement, the apostolic movement. You look at the teaching movement. There was a sound. It was a sound of teaching and pages turning. It was a sound of demons fleeing and people screaming out with joy as they were healed. And so there's a sound. It's a prophetic sound of the voice of God coming to strengthen and to encourage. Every time God does something, there is a sound. And God wants that sound to be on the inside of us. Revival, we talk much about revival in the church, but most of the church doesn't understand revival. Revival becomes something that, oh, one day there's revival. Oh, let's pray. Revival, revival. God, revive my family. Revive my nation. And it's great to pray, but prayer doesn't change anything unless we change. What's the whole focus of prayer? To get us connected with God, to change our hearts so that we begin to get the downloads from heaven, that we go out of that upper room experience, and because we're transformed, we begin to change things. When we come into the church is not just a place that our ears get itched. God loves you, you're wonderful, and you can just stay the way you are. Come on. That's what Adam and Lacey do to their newborn. Come on, your diapers stink, and you're spitting up all over the place, but we love you, but come on. We can't stay in that place. We need to go on to perfection. We need to go on to maturity. We need to be going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and growing up. And for many of us, there's things in our life that hold us back because of our thinking. There's things in our emotion that hold us back from moving forward into what God has for us. And we're waiting on God for revival. But God is waiting on us to make the adjustments in our life. In order to have revival, it requires preparation. In order to have revival, it requires us to make changes in our life that create an environment where God will move. And God will not force himself on anyone. God gives us times, but when God began to move, and we're going to look this morning in the upper room experience, when he was poured out on the day of Pentecost, it shook up the society. It began to change things. It began to disrupt their whole way of worship, their whole way of doing things. And those in the old, they fought the new. And we see that. Those that are not willing to make the adjustment, they couldn't come out. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people, couldn't come out of the Old Testament and the New Testament. They couldn't come out of law into love. And they persecuted Jesus. How can you heal on the Sabbath? Because God loves people. He don't want to be sick another day because it's Sunday. Of course, Saturday was the Sabbath. And they even said, oh, he casts out demons by the power of Beelzebub. He's doing it because of that. And they attacked, and you see that many times when God's doing something, what happens? The flesh rises up against the spirit. The flesh rises up against what God is doing. They got so angry, their emotions were flared up. And they tried to hinder what God was doing. But nothing will stop the move of God. We can be a part of the move, or we can get out of the way. We can be the part of the move, or when God starts moving, what will happen? If we try to get in against God, what happens when the wind starts blowing? Come on. If your sails are in the wrong direction, it breaks your sail. You ever been sailing, anyone? Any boaters out there? You got to put your sail in the right direction, and when you do that, it's smooth sailing. But if you put your sail in the wrong direction and go against the wind, it'll break the mast because the power of the wind. And so as we look at the subject of revival, God is not going to force revival on those who aren't seeking it, on those who aren't desiring it. And many times we pray, God, we want revival, like Habakkuk. We say, oh, God, send forth revival. He says, I heard the report of the Lord, and I was afraid. Because when I saw revival, when I saw what was going to happen, it's going to shake some things up. But then it goes on and he says, and he prayed. He said, but oh, your Lord, in the midst of the years, make yourself known. Go ahead, revive anyway. And sometimes we see God shaking things up. We see God shaking up government right now. We see God shaking things up, even with what's happened this week, you know, and things are coming out of the woodwork and, you know, people are angry and all this crazy stuff. What really changed this week? Nothing. Come on. Well, all they did is say that the federal government is not going to decide what happens. It's going to go back to the states. And now the states decide. For some states, that's great because they're more conservative. But for some states like ours, it could be worse. Because we live in a very liberal state. It's not that things are over, but what is it? It's time for us to rise up. Amen. It's time for the church to have a voice. It's time for the church to draw a line in that. But you see things happening. People are out looting and going. I saw on Instagram, you know, went to the jewelry stores and looting and robbing. What does that have to do with what happened? Nothing. Zero. But it shows the anger in the midst of things moving and things shaking up. There's the anger and of people that are frustrated. Why? Because we need Jesus. Only Jesus can satisfy. In the midst of rising prices, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of all that came along with COVID, what's happening? It's an opportunity for people even to come to God and find true peace. Yeah. What happened? People are out trying to fend for themselves and just fighting because they're angry with life and with their situation. It's senseless. What we see happening. But God is stirring up, and the devil can't stop the move of God. So what does he try to do? Distort it, divert it, or pervert it? Everything God creates, the devil can't create. God creates. But what does the devil tell me? He tries to pervert it. So God creates a man and a woman. The devil wants to pervert it. So now we don't even know what's a man and a woman. Society's saying, well, I don't know what I am. I can choose to be a man, or I can choose to be a woman, or I can choose to be both. Not that we don't have compassion on people that have that struggle, but what's the issue here? The confusion is there, and we try to fix it. And you know, it's just like someone who has an addiction problem, and they have a problem with drugs, and they're doing. We don't get upset with the addiction, but we need to put things back. Why? God created drugs; they're good. There's herbs, and there's things that are out there, and things that help us in life, and we've learned how to you know. You know, make those things and maximize them. But what happened? Man perverts it. And we use it the way it's not correct. So we pervert sex, we pervert money, we pervert all the power, we pervert music. But the devil can't create. But God, as he comes, what does he do? He comes to set things in order. He comes to bring things back and bring redemption, which is to bring things back to their original intention. Are you here this morning? So God is looking for people. We want a national revival in the proportions that we need it. Where is it going to happen? Through the church, through the people of God. It doesn't just drop from the sky one day. And so God is working on his people to bring about revival. What is he working on? To change our heart, to change our mind, so that we would flow with him. And out of our life would come revival into wherever it is that God puts us. Are you here? Amen? Too many believers today, they want the Lord to bring revival. They want the Lord to bring sweeping change in their lives, but they don't want to have the right posture. They don't want to make the adjustments, but it doesn't work. God knows what we have need of before we ask, right? But he says, we have not because we look at that. And sometimes we teach that, we'll say, God knows, but he requires you to ask. But that's not really what that verse means. What does he say? He knows what we have need of, but he wants us to put our focus on him and seek him for it. Because what do? When we need stuff, what do? We try to help God along. All through the Bible, they did that. Abraham did it in the promise and tried to help God along and mess things up. Come on. We try to help God along. So what do? We're seeking blessing through the world system. We're seeking promotion for the way of the world. We're seeking relations and we want to help God out. We can't really trust God, so we're trying to help God out because we get out of security. And what do? We mess things up many times because we're overbearing. We try to be controlling. We try to be manipulative because we're looking for that response from someone. But God wants to bring us to trust. Well, what we put our trust in, God, you are our source. We seek you. We seek first the kingdom of heaven, and we know all things come from you, that God, you're the blesser, you're the giver of life, that you're the Jehovah Jireh, you're the one. We put our focus on God. And what happened? We ask him and we seek him, and God gives us the things that we need of. But sometimes in our religiosity, we know God's going to bless me, but we're out trying to do it and make it happen itself. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, those that labor, labor in vain. We can't build a house and try to do it in our own gimmicks, and the world has tried that, and they haven't built the church. They built a country club. For many churches, the word's not being preached. It's just making you comfortable. We love you. You're wonderful. You can come. You can stop up the toilet. You can spill coffee on the floor. You can sleep and snore in church, and it's okay. We love you. But that's not the church. The church is not just a place where we just come and we don't stand for everything. Come as you are. Yes, come as you are. But if you keep coming for a year and you haven't changed, something's wrong with the church. Because God loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Come on. It's time to make a change. If we want to experience the blessing of God, we got to make a change. We got to change our posture. Well, I don't want to change. Well, how is what you're doing working for you? How's that working for you? We get angry with God. It's not God's fault. It's our thinking. We come and we got toxic emotion and we push people away and we reject people. And nobody loves me. And your connect group's calling you all the time and texting you. You don't even respond. It's not that nobody loves you. It's when we got to make a change and allow God to work in those areas of our life. We want the reward. We want great things. But are we willing to make the change and be dedicated to position ourselves for the move of God? Are you here? God's willing and able. The problem is never with God. The problem was with us. Are we resisting God? Are we resisting the wind? Are we positioning ourselves so that God can have his way? Are you here this morning? In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, the Bible says this. Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay until the city, until you've been clothed from power on high. Here we know Jesus is speaking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking about revival. He was speaking to the multitudes. But guess what? In the upper room, there wasn't a multitude. There's only 120 people. Why? Because not everybody was willing to tarry. Not everybody was willing to wait. Not everybody was willing to position themselves. Why? I've got family. I've got business. I've got this. I've got that. Nothing wrong with those things. But if God says to wait, are we willing to wait? Hear Jesus. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a commandment. But what do we try to do? We try to filter our commandments. Well, you know, people say that you're not blessed. And I say, well, are you tithing? Oh, I'm not tithing. I can't afford to tithe. God understands. Yeah, God understands that you have a faith crisis here. But in the kingdom of God, whatever you sow, you reap. Whatever you don't sow, you're not going to reap. If you give, you receive. If you don't, the Bible says if you don't honor God, you're robbing God, you're cursed. Some people are sick all the time. Christians, not tithing. Always struggling, always having problems, not giving to God, not honoring to God. And they think, well, God loves me. God doesn't violate the word. There's a wind of blessing that comes, but you got to position yourself right. You want to be blessed in your relationship, you got to walk right. If you don't walk right, you don't honor each other as husband and wife, and we make mistakes, and there's forgiveness for that. But if we don't put things in order, no wonder there's insecurity, no wonder there's control, no wonder all these things are happening, and we get upset with God. Because we never take our place. That's what we talked about men. He got upset with his wife, you know. It's a woman you gave me, God. God says, no, you didn't lead the woman I gave you. You got to put things back in order. You got to deal with your thinking. Come on. I'm not even going to go there. We preached that last week. It's online. But what happens? We're not obeying God in that area of our life, and so we're not receiving power from on high. We're not clothing ourselves in God. We're clothing ourselves with other things. What are we putting on? And the world looks at us, and many times the church looks just like the world. We struggle the same in our relationships. We struggle the same in our finances. We're under the debt. We have the same issues. And they look, what's different with you? But Jesus commanded us. He commanded them in that scripture to tarry in Jerusalem. Now, why Jerusalem of all places? Jerusalem was the worst place to be in if you were a Christian. Why? That was the religious city. That was the city that was always hard. That was the city that Jesus couldn't do a lot of miracles and things were difficult. It was a hard place. That was the place of resistance. That was the place of betrayal. where Judas betrayed him. That was the place of crucifixion, where he went to the cross and they were angry and said, crucify him, crucify him. Come on, it wasn't the easiest place to plant a church. Why didn't they go to Galilee? I've been to Galilee. If you've been to Israel, Galilee is a beautiful place. It's like beautiful beaches and it's peaceful. And it's a resort area. Like, we love that. Let's go cruise in Galilee and have a move of God. And it's so easy, and people are more chill, and they're not so intense. But God didn't send him to Galilee. God didn't send him to Bethany. Bethany was a great place. Bethany is a place where Jesus raised the dead. There was great power. It was a place where he turned water into wine. And it was good wine. He saved the best wine for last. Some of you are getting excited right now. Come on, it wasn't the place of the party. It wasn't the place that was so easy. He sent them to the most difficult place. No wonder you're having resistance in your life. No wonder there's a struggle going on, because that's the place of revival. That's the place of adjustment. That's the place where flesh and spirit comes together. That's the place where there's opposition, because that's the place that God wants to show himself strong. And rather than complaining, God, remove this from me, what does he say? Like he says to Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient. Come on. In the midst of resistance, change your thinking. In the midst of resistance, change your way of relating. Change your actions. Well, I don't feel like it. God don't care what you feel like. Your emotions are crazy. One moment you're in love, one moment you're not. One moment you're on a diet, and the next moment you're gorging yourself. And we say things like this, well, I deserve it. I worked hard this week. I need a cheat day. And your cheat day just killed everything you did the last 5 days. Come on, say amen. Come on, those people went to 9 a.m. Come on, we can relate. But I deserve it. I deserve that dress. I deserve this. I deserve, and I want it, and I want it now. Because we don't like to tarry. We don't like to wait. We want what we want, and we want it now. But that's not kingdom. He has to be Lord. We have to allow him to lead us. We have to conform our thinking to his way of thinking. We have to conform our way of relating to his relating. You know, I didn't feel like getting out of bed and preaching this morning. It was foggy. It was nice to go. I overslept a little bit. Normally I'm up at 6 and I woke up at 6:20 and I hit the snooze button. And I'm running a little late and I got to pray. And I'm just like, it's time for a me day. Come on. Oh, don't look at me like that. Some of you are watching online. You didn't even get to here this morning. But we're not led by our emotions, how we feel. This is the day the Lord has made. Come on, I'm called to preach. It don't matter what I feel like. I've been in the times I felt the worst and felt sick and didn't want to do it, want to throw in the towel, and that's the time God moved the most. Why? My emotions have to come in line with the Spirit of God and what I'm called, how I'm called to live. Sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes I can't wait. Other times I'm not excited. It doesn't matter. My excitement is a choice. My decision to honor God is a choice. I don't give because I'm emotional or, oh, Pastor Susan preached and stirred me up this morning, so I'm going to give. But if it's somebody else, I don't give. No, I don't care who's giving. I don't care if the offering message was a flop. I'm a giver. It's who I am. I don't give because how I feel. I don't give this morning. The Lord spoke to me in the first service. I gave an amount. It wasn't a tithe. It was a faith on a tithe. It's a seed of faith of what I'm believing to come in, and I'm tithing in advance by faith. So, well, how can you do that, Pastor? That's how God deals with me. It's not a feeling. The feeling can be scary sometimes, because what if God doesn't come through? What if? But I'm not led by what I feel. I'm led by the Word of God. I'm led by the voice of God. It's not what I think in my logic, in my reasoning, because we can reason out everything. God loves me. He wants me to be happy. And we come up with all these reasoning and we reason ourselves out of the will of God. Are you here? It was a place of resistance. It was a place of betrayal. It's a place of crucifixion. But Jesus strategically chose Jerusalem. Why was there so much resistance there? Because that was the hub of revival. That was where the church was going to come forth. Why are we in Orange County? People tell us, you could pastor in other parts of the country. You'd be a mega church already. We preach for thousands and tens of thousands, and we come back and preach to hundreds. But it's not about the crowd. It's about the destiny. Why Orange County? Why being here? Why LA people? Oh, LA, God's forgotten LA. It's terrible. It's, you know, it's not the city of angels. It's the city of demons. And all this crazy nonsense. God determines, if God says it's the city of angels, the devil wants to bring demons, but come on, the angels, two-thirds are more than the one-third of demons. If God has a purpose in the midst of resistance, well, it's expensive here. Well, why aren't you getting some of the spoils? Because there's a lot of money here. Come on, people can afford to live here. That's why stuff's expensive. If they couldn't afford it, the price would go down. It's all about supply and demand. Somebody's able to pay for it. Why aren't you able? Because of your thinking. I don't have enough education. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Do you know Jesus? Does he have a plan for you? You know, some of the 8th-gen kids, and you know, I took 8th-gen while Adam and Lace were taking time with their baby and took some time off. And they were looking for jobs, and oh, we can't find a job. We need a summer job. So we talked to a few people, and what did they do? They hooked them up with the manager, and they got jobs. Because it's not what you know, it's who you know. Come on. You're not saved because of what you know. You're saved because of who you know. You're not blessed because what you know. You're blessed because of who you know. We got to change our way of thinking. But if our thinking, well, I don't have enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not eloquent enough. Moses couldn't even speak. He stuttered, and God calls him to deliver. We can go through the word of God. It's not what you know. It's who you know. And in the midst of resistance, that resistance is not to crush you. It's not to break you. It's not to wear you down. That's why the Bible says don't grow weary in well-doing. It's to put pressure there so that God in you can come up and you can get rid of our stinking thinking, bringing our emotions into line where we're not led by the emotions. We're led by the Spirit of God. And it doesn't feel like Jesus did not feel like going to the cross. But thank God he wasn't led by his emotions. The struggle was real. He sweat great drops of blood. The pressure was so much that blood literally came through his pores. And you think you have pressure? But he didn't deny God. He didn't abort his purpose. He said, not my will, not how I feel. It's not how I think. God, I said, remove this if you could. Is there another way? Sometimes God says, no, the way is not around. The way is through. But I'm with you. And in the midst of those times, God builds something, capacity, emotional capacity, mental capacity, spiritual capacity, physical capacity that leads us through into the promised land. And what happened in the midst of that place? God was concerned about salvation. Why Jerusalem? Acts chapter 2, verse 5 tells us. It says, now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Why Jerusalem? Because every nation under heaven, there was a seed that would encounter God. Why was there such a struggle for the city? Because in that city, the seeds of influencers was there. The seeds of greatness was there. Why are we here in this territory? Even though it's expensive, even though there's so much distraction. Why? Because whatever happens here happens in the rest of the world. Some people have said this, as California goes, so does the rest of the world. Come on, even in the midst of all that's happening, come on, the movies are still being made here. Music is still being made here. Things are still being made here because when it comes from this territory, it goes all around the world, sometimes even before it hits America. Who designed that? It wasn't the devil. It was God. And God chooses territories. God chooses places, and he raises up people. I love the fact we live in a multicultural city. I mean, we got Asians here. We got Ukrainians and Russians. We've got Africans. We've got Europeans. We've got people from all over the world. It's a melting pot. I mean, even in this room, we got a melting pot of people. I've been to some churches, it's all one color. It's all, because that's all that's there. But why? Because God has strategically put the nations here. And as we come in, I love the nations. We love people. We love the fact that's who we are. That's why God put us here. Come on. We've been some other places and it was nice, but we didn't really fit there. It was just meat and potatoes, come on. They didn't have any chili sauce. Come on, they didn't have any wasabi. Come on, they didn't have any spice and any Creole in there. But come on, God puts us in a place of a melting pot. Why? Because from here, come on, like Jerusalem, whatever begins to happen, the move of God went around the world. There was a Azusa Street revival that happened an hour and 15 minutes from here that went all around the world. Who determines that? It's God. So why is the pressure there? Don't, well, I'm moving to Texas. I don't like Texas. I like the beef that comes from Texas. But Texas is flat. Texas is very hot. Texas, I don't understand the exits. You got to get off here and go out around and come back. It's just like, what's up with that? Nothing wrong if you're from Texas. God bless Texas, but I'm not called to Texas. I'm called here. And we might be able to go to Texas and in the flesh do something. But we got to be prepared. Where has God made us? Don't be leaving your promised land. Don't be leaving because there's resistance. Don't be leaving because if you're out of the will of God, you're never going to eat the promised land. People leave church. Well, I'm leaving church. Well, guess what? You have to live with yourself. There's no perfect church. You keep going to the next church and think you're going to find the perfect church. And you've been from church to church to church, hopping around. But guess what? The common denominator is you're there all the time. I can't find a church. Well, why don't you change? Come on. I can't find a husband. You've dated 20 men. That would have been nice, but you couldn't find the perfect man. He doesn't exist. I'm looking for the perfect woman. I ask people, what's your list? Throw that list away. That's a terrible list. There's no one out there that exists on that list. Oh, some of you got real quiet here. Your list doesn't exist because no one is perfect. No one has it all. No one's a 10 in every area. But what are the most important things? Look for those things. Look, well, I want someone that has this in. After three babies, they're not going to look like that. I'm sorry. Come on. I'm looking for the man that's like that. Every man after he gets married loses his six pack. Most of them, sorry. We're still working on getting it back. Some of the women are rubbing their husbands' bellies right now. I'm not even gonna. What are we looking for? The image? Are we looking for what God says is a helpmeet, a partner for us? We got some amazing women in church that's still single. I'm like, why are they single? Talk to some guys, what's wrong? I'm like, what? You don't even know what you need. Come on. I'm not even gonna go there this morning. Every nation was under heaven. And because of that, the revival went out and began to hit the known world. Come on, we need to prosper where we're at. Don't get out of the place of press. Don't get out of the place of being uncomfortable. That's where greater than he that's in you comes out of your life. Where there's no pressure, the guitar doesn't play properly. If the strings aren't tuned, we have electronic things now, the piano don't play right. And in that midst of pressure, it's not a bad thing. It's God wanting to fine-tune your life to his song so that you can express the sound of heaven. What are the sounds? There's several aspects of the sounds this morning, very quickly. Number one, let's talk about the sound of Pentecost. We need to investigate the sounds of what we're hearing today. This week, we hear a lot of people in places of power and places of prominence making a lot of noise. But what's the sound? It's the sound of flesh. It's the sound of irresponsibility. It's the sound of frustration. It's the sound of anger. Just angry with everything. It doesn't even make sense. It's not even rational. Check the sound in your own life. What sounds are you listening to? Many Christians, they get into their emotion and they're sensitive. And sometimes we are not able to divide between the emotion and the spirit. And we're hearing sounds and we say it's God, but it's not God. We're listening to the wrong voices. And what happens? God gives us a wake-up call. Well, I feel this. And God will show us it's not right. But we refuse to adjust our heart. Our discernment is off. Pastor Susan talked very powerfully about discernment a few weeks ago. And whatever, well, I feel this, but then it's wrong. I feel it, but we don't adjust our heart, even though God's trying to give us a wake-up call. You're wrong. Not everybody's against you. Come on. Not people trying to get you or use you or you know, the wrong intentions or all. Where are we getting this from? Our emotion, but it's so strong, it sounds like the voice of God. We got to check the sound. What was the sound of Pentecost? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It wasn't from this earth. It wasn't from emotion. It wasn't from your mind. I've heard some people, and you know, well, God's calling me to do this, and they keep talking, and all I hear the sound of the flesh, the sound of ambition, the sound of pride. God's gonna do my, this is my year. You've been saying that for 20 years. Why hasn't it been your year yet? Because your heart ain't right. Because you're not positioned correctly. And the vision may tarry, but come on, it shouldn't be tarrying that long. I got real quiet here this morning. And we come up with our religiosity. We come up with all the things we're doing. It's not even, I've been to some conferences and preachers are that way too. It's like, Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about souls getting changed. Let's not talk about how big our church is and what car we're driving and all that stuff. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not the main thing. Let's not talk about us and our project and what is God doing? What is God building? What is the sound? It was a sound from heaven. Someone say a sound from heaven. That means it came from the throne room, not from our thinking. Not from us, not from people around us. It came from the throne room. We need to hear the sound of heaven. And sometimes we try to rationalize the things that we're doing. And that's why the prophetic word is so powerful, because nobody knows our business and God will come and mess things up. I don't really like that word. Well, it was a word from heaven. It rattled me. It didn't sit right with me because there's some things that need to be put back in order. I'm not saying everything, but why would God bring someone who knows nothing to come and read your mail? And we don't celebrate it. We put it aside. Well, I don't believe in that. And we get people around us who will just whisper in our ear what we want. It's your ear. It's your breakthrough. Why hasn't it happened? Because the adjustments need to be made. It's a sound from heaven. There's a sound of revival. It's a sound that comes from the throne room. It doesn't come from man. It comes from God. And we have to tune our ears into heaven. We got to look at what God says is successful and not what man says is successful. 120 people crowded into a small room, and I've been to the places they think are the upper room, who knows? It wasn't that big. It was hot. They're probably praying and had the windows shut because if you were a Christian and they heard you praying, you could be killed. It's probably hot. They've been there for days. They're praying. The floor is cold. It's hard. And they're there praying and praying. Many people, when Jesus spoke to the multitude, many people heard him. But not everybody waited. Everybody was willing to hear the sound. They liked the sound of the loaves and fishes multiplying. Like the sound of the positive preaching. But when it required something that their flesh didn't like, they didn't want to hear that. But that's many times the sound that comes from the throne of heaven. We got to tune our ears into the sound of heaven. There's a new sound coming from heaven. There's a sound of revival. There's a sound of the wind beginning to come. It's a new song that comes from heaven. Every church needs its sound. Every territory has a sound. And I love what God's doing in different parts of the world. I was in Asia and you know, we learned many things from there, but the sound is different. Why? I'm not in Singapore. The spirit can be the same, but it's a different administration. It's a different way of doing it. What works there doesn't necessarily mean me there. We love Bethel's music, and there's a sound that comes from Bethel. But guess what? Have you ever been to Redding? Redding is a small town where all the hippies live. Bill Johnson will tell you that himself. He was a hippie. But the sound there might not work here. The sound here might not work where you're at. I love, you know, Elevation and been there, but we're not North Carolina. We're not in the Bible Belt. The sound is different. What it takes to break through here may be different when it takes to break through there. But what are we doing? We want to copy other people's sound. Preachers do it till we go, you know, go to the church growth conference. What are the 10 keys to church growth and what someone else did? And you think you can do it. Well, you're not in Ohio. I'm going to Ohio in 2 weeks' time. I'm going to be with Apostle Les Bowling for his conference, Acceleration Conference, and going to be there with him. And looking forward to it. But guess what? When I go to Ohio, I hear the sound of cows. I love the beef that comes out of Ohio, but it's a farming place. The sound of Ohio is different than the sound of Orange County. Are you here? What's the sound that God has? What's the sound for your business? What's the sound for your family? What's the sound in our church? What's the sound for you individually? We got to get our sound and stop trying to copy and be an echo of someone else. I could preach a lot of things this morning, but this is the word that God gives me. I wasn't so excited about it. Come on, it's summer. Let's chill out. We just had Father's Day. God says, preach on the sound of heaven. I'm like, are you kidding me? Let's have a short service and go to the beach. Come on. That's my flesh. But am I going to preach the sound that comes from heaven that's needed or what's popular? You say, well, I don't really like the word. It's a little strong this morning. That's probably what you needed to hear. Are you here? Because God's wanting us to move forward. It's the sound of Pentecost. Not only was there a sound that came from heaven, there was a strength in the sound. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. We love the dove anointing. Oh, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're wonderful. But your diapers stink. You need to learn to brush your teeth. Come on. You need to learn how to bathe. Come on, we can't just stay in that place. It's okay for Adam and Lace child because he's only a month old, 6 weeks old. But if we're 40 years old and still wearing diapers, something's wrong. If we still can't remember to brush our teeth or to use soap, something's wrong. I got real quiet here, amen? I don't feel like it. Well, I still get up and bathed this morning and shaved and brushed my teeth and used mouthwash and had a breath mint before I got up here because I'm gonna shake your hand afterwards. Are you here? That's called maturity. We're learning to live. There's a strength of the sound. It's a rushing wind. It's a mighty rushing wind. Someone say a mighty rushing wind. Have you ever been to the beach? And we have pretty good weather here, but if you go to many of the beaches, and I've been to Miami and other places and in Asia and different places, and you hear the sound of the wind because there's a storm coming. I'll put up a picture for you. And what happens? You hear the stirring of the wind, and the wind might start out, and the wind begins to swirl because there's a storm that's coming. There's a mighty rushing wind that's coming. We've seen it in Miami and different places, Louisiana, and whatever. There comes a hurricane with 50, 60, 70-mile winds. And guess what? If you didn't plant your plant well, it's going to fly away. But you can see those plants that are planted and have roots, and come on, they bend all the way over. And when the wind stopped blowing, they're there. Because they have root, because they're planted, because there's a strength that is there. It's not a delicate breeze that God's sending on the earth. Why? Because there's a mighty wind that's coming to set things in order. It's not just a wind of refreshing, it's a wind of reformation. Because in revival, there comes reformation. You look at revival as it came in the earth, there was a sound. In the teaching movement, was the sound of pages turning and people taking notes. In the voice of healing, it was a sound of, I'm healed. Demons getting cast out of people and people testifying of miracles and signs and wonders. In the prophetic movement, it's the sound of words coming in and God uprooting. God tearing down, God building the right things. In the apostolic move, it's a move of fathering. It's a move of a family coming together as a mighty rushing army. We're in the age of the church. It's an outpouring. Are we going to be the church? That's really the church. We don't just play church. We are the church. Monday through Sunday. Not just here and getting our fix. And well, I clock my time clock with God and I'm okay, but see you next week. But we're the church, and we receive the wind of God into our life. As we go out, we ride that wind throughout the week, in our family, in the marketplace, in every arena of our life. You can't see the wind, but you know it's there because there's a sound. We struggle sometimes to limit the destruction caused by the wind. It causes erosion on the earth, but there's power in the wind if we begin to harness ourselves and get in the right position. I put a picture up for you. You look at the wind and you see that's there, that the wind can come and it can begin to power. Meet the needs that are there. When we talk about the wind, it's good news and bad news sometimes. The wind came and brought destruction. But we're talking about the good news today. The wind comes, and what does it do? It blows away the old. It blows away the dust. It blows away, and it gives way for something new. The word in the Hebrew for the word wind is the word breath. It's ruah. It means wind. We see that illustrated when God, and he did creation, God is the creator. What did he do? Wind came out of the nostrils of God. Breath came out in Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living creature. We need to harness the wind of the Holy Spirit. We need to receive from the Creator God and what he's desiring to do and position ourselves. God, we want what you want, not what we want. We don't want to be a copy. We want to do what you want to do. And what happened is we begin to harness the wind. What we're going to happen? Power is released in our lives. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But it comes as a sound. It comes as a mighty rushing wind. And we need to position ourselves in the wind of God. Are you here this morning? The wind of God. There's a power in the wind. Number three, what's the results of the sound? Are you still here this morning? In John 3, verse 18, the Bible says, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. Are you born of the Spirit? Are you born again? Yes. Do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? What does the Bible say? This is how you're supposed to be. There's a sound that you carry. There's a sound when you walk into the room. Come on, people, you say, you want to rumble? You want to make a sound? When you walk in the room, when you show up for work, when you come home, is there a sound? Is there a wind of the Spirit that comes through our life? So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. What is the wind? Are you fighting against the wind in your life? Are you positioning yourself for the direction that God wants to bring in your life? Are you here? When revival comes, the wind of the Holy Spirit blows. What happens? As the wind blows, you hear a sound. What's the sound? The sound of prayer. Prayer has a voice to it, you know. The least attended meetings, and we have good ones, are prayer meetings. Why? Because people don't open their mouth and pray. I don't feel comfortable praying. What is prayer? It's talking to God. But there's a sound. And many of us, we're doing silent prayers. I grew up in the Baptist church. We say, let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a moment of silence prayer. What happened? Nobody was praying. Everybody was dreaming. Sometimes you hear a... But in the Bible, what's the saying? When they opened their mouth, there was a sound from heaven. It shook the place. There was a mighty rushing wind that filled the house on the day of Pentecost. As they came together and they prayed and they said, God, anoint your servants with boldness. What happened? The sound came from heaven. Boldness came upon their lives, and they went out. As they went out speaking. They were out, and there was a sound of freedom. There was a sound of joy, and people looked at them and said, are you guys drunk? It's only noontime. They said, we're not drunk as you suppose. Come on, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a fire, there's a passion, there's a wind that's in our life, and Jesus, whom you crucified, has risen from the dead, and you need to repent, and times of refreshing will come, and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, because this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. That was the message. There's a sound of prayer. There's a sound of praise. You can't praise God quietly. Some of you guys come for praise and worship, but you don't praise. That's not praise. Praise is vocal. Come on. And we should be looking around, but let me tell you, everybody on stage is looking at you. They're up there. Come on, let's sing in here. Are you praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? If Jesus is sitting there watching, who's a praiser? Do you qualify? Say amen, oh me.
Well, I feel pressured. That's not my personality.
Oh, I see you with your windows rolled down on the PCH, listening to your music, jamming. Come on, to Barry Manilow. Or whoever it is you like. Don't tell me you don't praise, but you're not praising God. Come on. And I do that too. I put my YouTube on sometimes. It's a beautiful day. Come on, that's a scriptural song. I love it. It gets me going. Oh, don't look at me like that. Music is powerful, but are we allowing the Spirit of God, the wind of praise, to move us, or are we holding back in pride?
Well, I don't want to look like that. You know, I'm just going to be here and look cool.
You're too cool for God. Pastor, that's a bit strong. I'm trying to help some people today so you can get in the wind and don't get blown over. Because no flesh will glory in his presence. Be still and know that he's God. When God shows up, he fills the room. And flesh gets out of the way. Ananias and Sapphira drop dead in the presence of God. In the New Testament, after the resurrection. We better be careful when we pray for the glory, because when the glory shows up, that's what happens. You can't lie to the Holy Spirit. The fear of God was restored. We need the fear of God restored to the church. How's that going to happen? Well, God loves me. Yeah, he loves you, but God is God. He will not be disrespected. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There's a sound of praise. There's a sound of preaching, strong preaching that moves the heart of men. We're not teaching this morning. I'm preaching. Because God's trying to get some people's attention.
Well, I don't like that.
Well, you can go somewhere. There's a lot of churches that will itch your ears, and you'll never have the purpose and blessing of God. We're not the only church that preaches the word, but we decide we're going to preach the word because we want the glory. We want the move of God. And that's why you're here. Amen? There's a sound of prosperity. When the wind of God blows, there's a wave of prosperity that comes. The church prospered. The Bible says there was no need among them. There was such prosperity that as anyone had need, the needs were met. You need a job? Let's make a phone call. I illustrated that earlier. You need some money? Oh, we'll take care of that for you. My car broke down? Well, we got some mechanics that will help you out with your car. Every need was met. And I was in a church of 30,000. There were no, you had a doctor need, we called the doctor and you were in. I had a pain one time. I came back from a missions trip and I think it was food poisoning. They wanted to take my appendix out. Admit me, I was supposed to come back to the U.S. in 3 days. I'm like, I can't have a surgery. I got to fly. I got people to meet, you know, things to do. Come on. My kids want to see Mickey. At that time, Mickey was different. Amen. And I called up, and this surgeon's like, don't let anyone touch you. I'm flying back. I'll come see you tonight. Get warded. I'm going to call the hospital. They put me on an antibiotic. He come in. He said, nothing wrong with your appendix. You got food poisoning. You'll be fine tomorrow. Thank God I knew someone. It wasn't what I knew because I didn't know anything. I'm not a doctor. But I had someone who knew. That's the church. That's the power of the church. Come on, the government is not called to solve the social ills. It's the church. We come the way we got problems, some domestic violence issue. Call up the church. We'll get some of our men to go down and talk to the men. Get some of the women to talk to the women. In some cities, the sheriffs call up the church and members ride along with the sheriffs when they go out for calls to be there to bring social help because they know just locking somebody up, or it's not going to do anything. It's not going to help people. All you do is lock up a problem. When they get out, the problem is still there. Are you here? There's prosperity. Prosperity is not just money, but God prospers us because we come together and God says there's food in his house that we can meet the needs of what we have to do, and there's no lack because we're walking with God, but it's tied to the kingdom. It's the sound of progress, of newness, of progressing, of moving forward. Come on, progress. Things are changing. Mix it up. We don't always like what's happening. I'm not really a fan of TikTok, but I'm still on TikTok. Why? Because I want to reach young people. I got someone else to help me with that because it don't make sense to me. But I'm still engaging. Are you here? I'm still involved in what's happening. Well, we don't want Facebook. We don't want... You can't do business and not be involved in those things. Are you here? We've got to be progressive. There's a sound of strength that comes out when God's coming. There's a result where things begin to change. It changes the way we pray. It changes the way we pray. It changes the way we give. It changes how we go to work on Monday morning. It changes how we do family. It's revival. I'd like the musicians to come. Finally, what happens? There's the saturation of the sound. We look at Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Are you learning something this morning?
Yes.
It says, and suddenly, someone say suddenly. there came what? There was a sound from heaven. What was the sound? It was a strength, a mighty rushing wind. And what happened? It filled the whole house where they were sitting. It didn't just get on the people. It filled the house, the glory cloud. It touched the walls. And it was too big to be contained in the four walls of the house. And what happened? It spread into the community. When our hearts are hungry and open, what happened? We get saturated. It flows out of us. Rivers. It flows in the way we do business. It flows in how we are at Starbucks. It flows into how we live our lives. It flows as we go out to a restaurant and how we treat people. It's attractive. There's life. There's something. I have people say, there's something about you. You know what? Have I met you before? There's something. Because it's attractive to people. It's like fresh water that satisfies me. There's something different about you. Yes, it's Jesus. And people say, well, I don't think those people are open. How do you know they're open? Everybody needs fresh water. Come on. I like my Starbucks, but come on, all that does is dehydrate you. You need fresh water. And I love it. I drink lots of water because it refreshes us. Come on, most of our body is made of water. What's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. Come on, as our walk with God, we need the Spirit. We need water. We need the wind. Are you here? It's called to saturate us. John 7, verse 38 says, and he who believes in me, do you believe in him? As the scripture says, what it says, out of his heart, one translation says out of the belly, will flow rivers of living water. What's flowing out of your life right now? Is it sour, bitter water because you need to adjust your heart? Is it fear because of your thinking? Is it criticalness? Is it negativity? What's flowing out of your mouth? It shows what's in your life. And you can be filled with the Spirit, but what happened? Instead of a river of fresh water that's flowing, you're a swamp. Because the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, pride is coming in. The spirit of the world's coming in. And what happened? It mucks up the water. But what does God want to do? He wants to remove those things. We can get our thinking right. We can get our emotions in line. We're led by the Spirit of God. And what happens? Out of that place, the rivers of living water comes. There's a sound of revival that's coming that's going to saturate the church. What is it? It's a sound of power that can't be denied. It's a sound of unity that can't be stopped. The unity of the church, united in one heart and one mind for the cause of Christ. It's a sound of intercession that begins to open up the heavens. It's a sound of revival that can't be quenched, where God is causing us to get our passion back. We should be the most positive people on the planet. We should be the most people that see the good in people. Oh, that person, well, what about that? I see the prophetic potential in them. Oh, that person's a lost cause. No, 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 no. There's greatness on the inside of them. The devil knows that too. And they need to get into the right environment. We create an environment of faith. We create an environment of the Holy Spirit. There's rivers of flow. There's rivers of healing. Oh, it's sick and it's a dark situation. We come in with faith and healing flows. In marriage situations, well, he this. Shh, stop. Change your focus on the negativity and put your focus on the good. Begin to change things and transition. Well, there's still things that need to be done. Yeah, we're all a work in progress. Thank God that he forgave you. And there's grace in your life or you wouldn't be here today. We got to let the rivers begin to flow. There's a sound of praise that cannot be quenched. Come on, Peter went out of that place and he preached and there was a sound of revival. And 3,000 people were cut to the heart, the Bible says. Gave their hearts to Jesus. He preached another time. 2,000 people were moved in their hearts. Come on, what does the world need? The world wants something real. They don't want all the fakeness and the nonsense. Even now people are saying, tell the celebrities, keep quiet. Just go and make a movie. Come on, don't tell to me about politics. You're not qualified. Say amen. Everyone wants to have a voice, an opinion. You have the right to your opinion, but keep your opinion to yourself. Your platform is not for that. Are you here? People get sick of it. You see, there's a shift that's happening. When God's people get revived, what happened? We're going to bring people to Jesus. Who have you won to the Lord lately? Evaluate the river in your life. Who are you impacting for the Lord? When the river comes, it removes the obstacles. When the river comes, it brings unity. It's not about me or me promoting myself and my gift and my position. It's about the kingdom. If I had to sweep the floor and be a doorkeeper in the house of God, I just want to be near the presence of God. It's for the sake of souls. And when we have that, what happened? God promises fruitfulness. Psalms 126, last verse, verse 5. It says, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. What is it saying? Sometimes you don't feel like plowing. Sometimes I don't feel like sowing. Sometimes I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praising. I don't feel like worshiping. Come on. Well, you're saved. You should feel like it. No, you're not led by your feeling. You go out, oh, I gotta sow. Oh, I gotta labor. Oh, I gotta take my connect group. Oh, I gotta do this. I gotta be an usher today. I gotta get up early. I gotta do sound check. Oh. But you go out with your seed. You go out expecting a harvest, and you might go out weeping. You might go out with the wrong attitude, but guess what? God will honor you, and a harvest will come, and you'll come back, what, carrying sheaves and a harvest in your life. Your labor is not in vain, God says, but it's, sometimes it's labor, but what does the Bible say? It will produce fruit, and that fruit will remain because it comes from God. Come on, we need revival, but are we willing to position ourselves? Are we willing to get out of our religious mindset or just looking for a religious experience and just going through the motions of church, going in the motions of life? Or do we really want to see transformation? Do we want to see Elisa Viejos transformed? Do we want to see Laguna Niguel transformed? Do we want to see Laguna Hills transformed? Do we want to see Mission Viejo transformed? Do we want to see Irvine transformed? Come on, the nations are coming to Irvine. Do we want to see San Clemente transformed? Come on, life's more than a beach, people. Do we want to see the move of God? Come on, then we have to begin to change. We have to begin to get the rivers of God flowing in our life. Because if we're just struggling with our own stuff, we're struggling with our own mindset, we're struggling with our own emotions, how can it flow out of us? We're a swamp. And yes, there's some fulfillment that's there, but we're not going to have the impact. We're not going to see revival. And when the wind comes, we better be ready. Because God's going to have his way. We got to get in the way. If our sail's not set, what happens? When the wind comes, the sail breaks. Because we're positioned against what God is doing. And the old will fight the new to try to justify itself. Come on, it's time for a move of God. Come on, what areas is God wanting you to change in your thinking? What areas is God wanting to change you to change? Adjust your emotions. Well, I don't feel this way. Well, stop. Put your emotions in line. Get up and sow. Get up and be faithful. Get up and put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Because the Bible says you look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. That's the word of God. That's the church. The church, Christianity is not for weak people who just want to be entertained. Where else can you go and get free music, a comfortable chair, nice air conditioning, and free childcare? Some people say, we're having a women's conference. Pastor, it's $100. 3-day conference, $100 with an international author speaker. Come on, you went to the movies and spent $50 and you saw Top Gun and you saw Jurassic Park and you can't even invest in your growth into the kingdom. Don't give me the, come on, look at what we're spending. We play these games with God because why? Because we want everything free. We want God to do everything. No, God requires a response from us. He's done everything he's going to do. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He said, it is finished. I've given you power. I've given you authority. I've raised you up. What are you going to do about it? And we need to stop complaining. Because if we're not where we want to be, the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. Or maybe we're where we're supposed to be, but we're looking at the world and what they see as success, and it doesn't match up. God's standard of success and how God describes success is not success. Are you here? Caleb never got to take over like Joshua, but Joshua needed a Caleb. Aaron never got to be the leader, but Aaron lifted up the hands of Moses. Come on, you don't have to lead from the first chair. You can lead from the second chair. Come on, nobody got to be Jesus. There was only one Jesus. He's the head of the church, but they got to be apostles. One got Jerusalem, one got Judea, one got Rome, one got... We don't get to pick our assignment, but we're a part of his plan, and we need to be thankful for that. We need to look with the eyes of God. Come on, and hear the sound. Come on, God's trying to clear the airways in some of our lives right now because God's getting ready to move forward. This church is moving forward. Don't be a casualty. I talk to pastors, and they tell me their stories. Oh, there's another casualty. There's another casualty. Why? Because people didn't adjust themselves, and they took themselves out of the purpose of God. They took themselves out of what God was doing, and they miss out and sit on the sidelines being critical and never having fruit in their life. Come on, it's time to hear the sound of revival. It's time for a move of God. Let's stand on our feet. Come on.